And the thought that we want to take into this centering is, God is the strength in which I trust. 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 It's good to see you. How's everybody feeling today? Feeling all right? We're going to do a one-word check-in. I feel open. Any word that could that you could use to describe how you feel right now.
I feel.
It doesn't have to be anything.
Anxious.
One word that describes how you feel. Sad.
Cold.
Okay.
Both my words have been taken now. I'll be blessed and grateful. Anxious.
Humble.
Shirley.
Confused.
No, ma'am.
Glorious.
Glorious.
Sluggish.
I'm going to do a lesson in the workbook today that I think is very powerful. It's lesson 47. It's on page 75. Lesson 47 on page 75 in the workbook. You're looking for your message. It's not about understanding or agreeing, but you're just looking for whatever is said today that you can go, okay, that's what I need to hear. That was my message. Okay, that's what we're doing. We're looking for messages when we come to class, not whether or not we understand everything. That's not really important, actually. You know, most of the things that I use and do all day long, I don't understand. I don't understand cars. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anything about how they operate. You tell me to make a television, I couldn't do it. Radio, tell me to make a cup of coffee, I couldn't do it. You know, I realize all the time, I'm so constantly surrounded by things that I'm using and benefiting from that I don't understand. I don't understand how electrical the wiring works, air conditioners. I could go on and on and on. But there's something about the unknown, the universe, and God that I think I insist that I need to understand that. The most incomprehensible thing of all is the thing that I spend all my time trying to understand. And so what I wanted to do was learn how to get in touch with that power, how to get in touch with that that universal force, in a way that it would allow my life to operate on a much more peaceful, powerful level. So I'm really about actualizing and allowing, more so than thinking I need to understand everything. So that's why my classes are geared toward getting us in touch with how to listen to our inner self, and how to hear and how to tell when we've heard a message that's just for us, because that message could completely change our mind about something. And the minute we change our mind, of course, says that the external reality automatically shifts. It automatically changes. If I ever change my mind, everything I'm trying to work on out there will automatically change, if I ever change my mind. So this lesson is really deep. What it's going to give is a definition of God that's so simple and so obvious that sometimes people miss it. The very title of the lesson itself is the meaning of God. God is the strength in which I trust. So a word for God is the strength in which I trust. Now, what's interesting about that is that if the strength in which you trust is the world or your job or who you know or influence or prestige or being liked or knowing the right people, that's your God. It's whatever I trust in, the chorus is saying, that's my God. Or if I just trust in my own ego, then my own ego is my God. And the chorus is, that's mostly what goes for God in the world, is our ego, which is the idea that we have that we're on our own, having to take care of ourselves. So now I'm looking only to myself in order to be safe. So the truth is, my ego is my God. And it's a jealous God. And it punishes when you don't obey it. Right? I mean, who is the punishing God? Well, punishing God is my own ego. It's my own idea that I deserve to be punished if I'm not good enough, loved enough, smart enough, successful enough. That's my punishing God. It's the idea I have about myself that I worship more than the truth. It's the idea about myself that I protect at all costs. That's my God. If I think I'm not going to be taken care of unless I have money, then money is my God. Or if I think the money that I have is what's taking care of me, money is my God. So from a lot of different levels, it is true that God is the strength in which I trust. Did everybody follow me on that? You know, whatever I trust, whatever strength you're trusting in, that's your God. So, the first sentence kind of covers it all. If you're trusting in your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive, anxious, and fearful. What can you predict? What can you really control? What is there in you that can be counted on? What would give you the ability to be aware of all the facets of any problem and to resolve all the facets of any problem in such a way that only good can come of it? What is there in you that gives you the recognition of the right solution and guarantees that the right solution will be accomplished? Of yourself, you can do none of these things. To believe that you can is to put your trust where trust is unwarranted, and to justify fear, anxiety, depression, anger, and sorrow. Who can put their faith in weakness and feel safe, yet who can put their faith in strength and feel weak? So basically what I'm being told is that the reason why I feel anxious about this situation, anxious about this relationship, fearful about a situation, or fearful about a relationship is because I'm trusting in my own strength. Now, most of the stuff that I've ever studied has told me to trust in my own strength. So it's interesting to read a book that says that's the reason why you're afraid, because you are trusting in your own strength. So whose strength is it talking about? It's talking about we trusting in our ego strength. We're trusting in our human strength. And then it goes on to say, well, what would give you the ability to be aware of every facet of any problem? What gives you the ability to resolve any situation so that only good comes of it? The truth is, I don't know how to resolve every facet of any situation. And that's why I'm afraid, and that's why I'm anxious, and that's why I'm apprehensive, is because I think it's up to me to solve this situation that's going on in my life right now. And I don't know how. That's basically what he just got through saying in the book. That's why I'm fearful. I think there's a problem. I think I have to solve the problem. I don't know how to solve the problem. That's why I'm upset. If I knew how to solve the problem, I wouldn't be upset. So what it's saying is so obviously true. Of myself, I can't do none of these things. So the reason why Earl is afraid is because Earl is putting his trust in the part of him that's setting up saying, I don't know how to deal with it. And in the part of him that doesn't know how to deal with it, that's the part he thinks should be dealing with it, but it doesn't know how to deal with it. So therefore, I feel anxious, afraid, and apprehensive. So just like he's saying, I'm putting my trust where it's unwarranted. And if people say, well, shouldn't you put your trust in yourself? Yeah, you should put your trust in yourself, but yourself isn't the part of you that don't know what the heck is going on. That is not yourself. The part of me that doesn't know how to solve my financial problem, the part of me that doesn't know how to solve my relationship problem, the part of me that doesn't know how to solve my health problem, that part of me that I'm trusting in is why I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I'm trusting in the part of me that doesn't know. And I'm saying it over and over again for my own good, because I want to understand, where does my fear, anxiety, and depression, and anger, and sorrow come from? It's coming from me trying to resolve problems that I don't know how to resolve, only trusting in myself, but I don't know how to do it. That's why I have anxiety. You know, I want to have a wonderful relationship, I don't know how to do it. I would like to have a career that's awesome, but I don't know how to do it. I've been trying to lose 10 pounds for 30 years. I don't know how to do it. Right? So think about that for a minute. If you're afraid right now or apprehensive or depressed, do not tell yourself you're feeling that way because of the person or the situation that you think you're upset about. You're not feeling depressed because there's another person doing you wrong and you're mad at them for doing you wrong according to the Course. That is not the reason why you're upset. You're not upset because of what your child did, your mother did, your sister did, brother did. I'm not upset about anything that's happening outside of me that I'm telling myself all day I'm upset about. What I'm upset about is I'm trusting in the part of me that doesn't know how to solve this. And because I'm doing that, I feel depressed and I feel anxiety and I feel anger. That's where it's really coming from. But the average person will tell you, well, it's coming from this person that didn't get this job back to me on time that it was supposed to, the person that did not repay the loan that they made to me, the person that did this mistreated me, and the Course is saying, you need to back off of that. Everybody thinks that way, and you see the shape everybody in that thinks that way. So it must be some other answer other than it's somebody outside of myself that's causing this, because everybody says that. That's the most common thing you hear. Isn't that amazing, though, when you think about it? How everybody says that, and everybody's always said that as long as we've been alive, but yet we say it too, and we still think we're going to get the solution to the problem. But we're saying the same thing everybody says. Everybody says. It's just somebody else that's not aware. Everybody's not aware. So what the Course is saying is, I want to get you really in touch with why you are afraid. You are afraid because you're trusting in the self that you don't feel as strong and you don't feel as weak. He says it right here. Who can put their faith in weakness and feel safe? How can you put your faith in strength? If you're really putting it in strength, how can you feel weak? God is your safety in every circumstance. God's voice speaks for God in all situations and in every aspect of all situations. What does that mean? That means that there's a voice in you that can tell you exactly what to do to call upon the strength of your Creator and the protection of your Creator. Because that's what I want. I want the strength and the protection of that which created me. That's what I want. Used to think I wanted a cop. You know what I'm saying? I used to think I wanted, you know, clothes. But now, what do I want? I want the protection and the strength of that which created me, because I'm in a situation where I feel fear, anxiety, depression, anger, and sorrow broken into by periods in which I go to a movie. Right? Think about it. I mean, what I love about the Course in Miracles is that if a person's really willing to take their so-called positive thinking mind and just sit it over in the corner for a minute, and just be totally willing to get out of denial, you'll see that everything that this book says is obvious. It's not, you don't have to go, is the Course true? It's obvious that that's true. If you're anxious, fearful, and apprehensive, depressed, and angry, you must be trusting in a you that can't handle the situation, or you wouldn't be feeling that way. That's obvious. And if there is a God, which actually, the more, when I got into the Course, I found out I didn't believe there was, but I thought I did before I got into the book. But this book kept asking me to live my life as if God really existed. And that was a bit much. You know, it was one thing to just say, God, 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 there's a God. But when something tells you out, you're just trusting in your own strength, and you need to be trusting in God. My ego would take that to mean it's the same as do nothing. It's almost like saying, do nothing. Right? So the Course says that what happens is that there's a voice in me that tells me how to get in touch with that protection that can actually show me that I really do have a Creator that's looking out for me. The reason why I am not able to hear that voice that gets me in touch with my protection and my strength is because I am trusting in the part of me that doesn't know and is afraid, and so it has me so fearful and I feel such anxiety about certain areas of my life that I'm consumed with that anxiety, so I'm not hearing the voice that's telling me what to do, because I'm preoccupied with my feelings of unhappiness and how to resolve them on my own. Does that make sense? So really, my mind, the reason why I don't hear my teacher on the inside is that I'm busy judging and feeling afraid about what's happening on the outside. And I love questions. If you don't get it, you can say you don't get it. And if you don't, maybe I can help you get it. But that's like an obvious explanation. I just say, well, how come I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? I keep on hearing this book say that there's a voice for God. Well, let me tell you why you don't hear it. Number one, Earl, the reason why you don't hear the voice for God is that because you listen to the voice you've made up. Well, how do I know it's the voice I made up? Because it doesn't work. What? Well, if you were listening to the voice for God, certainly whatever you attempted to do would succeed, right? Yes. Well, do you see failure in terms of how you think you should have things be in areas of your life? Yes. Well, it's because you're not listening to God. Dang, you can't get too much more obvious than that, can you? You know, it's like, and the ego hates obviousness. Oh, well, Oh, I have been doing exactly what the book said, but I just haven't been getting the results. No, it's no way you can do what would give you what you want and it not happen. If you're able to do it. There's no way. There's no way. The recorder is here, and I had a capacity to turn it on, and I turn it on, and it's in good working order that the recorder is not going to come on. But if I want to turn the recorder on by putting on my glasses, I'm going to have a hard time taping the class. Isn't that right? And that's what happens every time we go to what we learn from the world and we go to what we made up. I want to get this problem solved, but I'm going to handle it by putting on my glasses. And so I've made up an answer. The answer is obviously not the answer from God in terms of me applying it, because I'm still full of fear, anxiety, depression, and anger. And the reason why I am is because I'm trusting in myself. I'm trusting in the self that can't give me what I want. And so I get mad. He says, sickness is anger taken out on the body. Or you can take that further than physical sickness. Anything that you're looking at in your life that the Course says is not of peace, that's a form of anger that you're taking out on yourself. Because as a child of God, all you deserve is total fulfillment. So if I'm having anything other than total fulfillment in my life, I must be trusting in my own strength separate from God. Any questions or comments about that? Anybody don't like something about that and they just need to say it? Anybody do like something about that and willing to say it?
It's true.
What, say it again?
It's true.
How many of y'all agree with what you've heard so far from the Course? Is it one of those things that's obvious if we're really willing to be honest with ourselves? Okay, how about the idea of believing that God exists? How many of y'all really believe that there's a higher power? Then really believe it. I mean, really, really accept that it's true. I mean, there's not a wrong answer. I just want to get a...
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I'll put it this way then. How many of you all are open to the idea of there being a higher power that you can call on? All right, so are we willing to come together to let go of the blocks to recognizing that that higher power exists?
Yes.
Okay, that's the purpose of the Course. It works even if you're an atheist, but the Course says anybody that believes that they're alone and self-sufficient is an atheist. That went, woo, that's deep. That's really deep. He said, yeah, if you think you're alone and you got to do it on your own, you're basically an atheist. You don't think there's a power greater than you or in you that you can call on. He said basically the world of people who are not aware of the truth are atheists and martyrs. They're both, and some people are both of them. They believe that love and happiness demands a sacrifice, or God demands sacrifice, or that they're on their own, alone, and got to do it on their own. And of course, there's either one of those positions, that's an atheist belief, and that's a martyr belief. The belief that in order for you to be happy, you got to struggle and you got to suffer and you have to work so hard that it's ridiculous in order for you to have peace, that's a martyr. It's deep. And the person that thinks they're on their own and they got to do it by themselves or it's not going to happen, that's an atheist. I used to think an atheist was just someone who publicly stated, you know, I just don't believe in God. I didn't know my actions were atheistic. That was deep, man. You know. One of the things I used to do to pretend like I believed in God, but I really didn't believe in God, was to make up whatever it was I thought I should do and say it was God's guidance. Mm-hmm. It was amazing how many things I've attempted in my life that I said at the beginning was God's guidance, and I fell flat on my face. Have you ever had that experience? God told me that was supposed to be my mate. You know what I'm saying? Now you got a restraining order on them. You know what I'm saying? It's like at some level, I got to realize that I'm making up my own advice, following it, and saying that it's my guidance from God, which is deep. Or I would do something like, which was really popular. Say I believe in God, but believe I had to do it all on my own in order to really, God has put me to this for me to develop my own strength by seeing if I can do this all on my own. That one is popular too. You see what I'm saying? So think about it. It's like that way I can say I believe in God, do it all on my own. But if something says to me, trust God to work this situation out for you, then I get scared. Because now it's not up to me to figure out a way to do it on my own. I got to learn how to listen. And learning how to listen is an art. Learning how to listen is the most important thing. Do you realize every single thing that you're unhappy about is just because you don't know how to listen? And I don't know how to listen? That every moment, the Course says, every moment of every day, your inner self is specifically telling you how to deal with every situation in your life, but you don't hear. And it says that the voice of our inner guide is only as loud as our willingness to listen. So if I say I can't hear God or my inner self, that's the same as me saying to myself, you know what? My willingness to listen sucks. Why? Because I don't hear the voice. I don't hear any guidance. Okay, then your inner self says, okay, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to give you the guidance. The way that I'm going to give you the guidance is I'm going to direct various spiritual teachings to you that will teach you how to discern when you're listening to the voice of the higher power or love and when you're listening to fear. Okay? The teaching that is attracted to you that you are willing to actually practice is the teaching that is the one that's for you. Okay? So, Earl, in your case, out of all the stuff you read that said the same thing, The Course in Miracles was the thing that you were willing to do, even though you had read many other books that basically said the same thing. There was something about this that you were willing to do. Okay, so that's your path, right? So, since you don't know how to listen from within yet, what we're going to do in this book, we're going to divide your mind up into two parts, the part of you that doesn't know and the part of you that does know. We're going to take the part of you that thinks it's innocent and the part of you that thinks it's guilty, the part of you that believes in love and the part of you that believes in fear. And what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to tell the difference between those two voices, those two parts of your mind, so that you will eventually be able to tell when you're telling yourself something is coming from your real self and when you're telling yourself something is coming from your false self. Because once you can tell the difference between the two, then you will choose for your best interest. But right now, you don't know how to tell the difference because both of those voices sound like your voice. So when I'm trying to listen to the two voices, it's not like I can tell the difference between the voices because they sound different. I have to learn how to tell the difference between the two voices by what they're saying and what they're instructing me to do. That's how you tell the difference between the voice of your ego and the voice for God in you. But I didn't know how to do that. And I don't know, do you know how all the time? So since I don't know how to do it, then I attracted a teaching that says, if you study me, I will teach you how to tell the difference between those two voices. And so the ones you know how to tell the difference between those two voices, then you will be able to listen to what you're telling yourself and be able to discern whether or not that voice is the part of you that's trying to jam you up, or that's the voice that's trying to give you the things that you really want. And so then you'll learn how to listen within. Then you won't need the book. So temporarily you need to rely on external healing devices until you learn how to tell the difference between it. So what happens for me is I go, okay, Earl, you're feeling afraid, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling angry. What does that mean? That means I'm trusting in my own strength. Okay, Earl, so if you feel depressed, if you feel angry, if you feel afraid, it's normal to feel that way if you're trusting in the part of you that doesn't know. So don't beat yourself up for feeling the way you feel. It's natural to feel afraid when you are trusting in the part of you that's weak and doesn't know what's going on. So really, your emotional reaction is quite normal. Stop beating yourself up about it. So then all of a sudden, I start to feel peace about however I felt, because the way that I felt was getting me in touch with what beliefs I was using. Because I can work from my feelings back to my thoughts. That's what you do. You work back from your feelings to your thoughts. If you feel crappy all the time, and you feel sad, and you feel angry, and you feel afraid, now you know what your thoughts are. I'm trusting in the part of me that doesn't know how to give me what I want. Okay, so what should I do? I need to know how to call upon the strength of my Creator, the protection of my Creator. There are no exceptions. I love this, because God has no exceptions. That means the voice that speaks for the Creator thinks the way the Creator does. That's awesome. That's awesome. So God is the strength in which I trust. Now, I'm going to stop there on that part of it, because the rest of it is an exercise that I'm not going to do with you right now. But what I'd like to do, I just wanted to bring that point home, that then the workbook lesson, that's the cool thing about the workbook lesson, it then shows you how to get in touch with that voice underneath your thoughts. And that's what the workbook does. Any questions about that? Is there anyone in here trusting in their own strength right now? Cool. And it doesn't feel good to tell the truth. How many of you think that it seems weird to be told not to trust in your own strength? This sounds kind of strange, right?
Same thing. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking my intellect.
Mm-hmm.
That I was taught to trust my intellect.
Right. Absolutely.
My logic, my...
And what the Course says is so cool is that the part of your mind that's in touch with the truth in God, it uses reason and logic, but so does your insane mind. See, it says your insane mind can use reason and logic just as easily as your sane mind, but here's the difference. All of the reason and logic that's coming from your sane mind, your loving mind, that logic is coming from the idea that you're innocent and that you're one, right? So if logically, if you and I are one with each other, then whatever I do to you is what I'm doing to me. Whatever I do to you is going to come to me. If we're one, your success is my success. If we're one, when you're happy, I'm happy. See the logic of that? Okay. Now, let's go the other way. I'm separate from you. Okay, since you're separate from me, then I can do something to you and it doesn't happen to me. We could be in competition. We could be different. And since we're different, then your needs not the same as my needs. See, that's logical. See, it's wrong. It's totally wrong, but it's totally logical. The truth is, if we're one, my needs and your needs are the same. You need love and I need love. You need truth and I need truth. You need peace and I need peace. You know, it's like we all have the same needs. The only thing that's different about us is the way that we've chosen to meet them. Right? All right? And the way that we've chosen to meet them, obviously, does not meet our needs because we're constantly seeking more and more things. I don't know about you, but it seemed like if I got what I really desired, instead of immediately seeking something else, I'd be busy enjoying it. That's just me. It makes perfect sense. I don't know. It's like somebody making a beautiful meal for you and putting it in front of you, and before you eat it, you go, "Would you make me another one?" That's what we do. It's like, why? Because you put the meal in front of me, so that's my cue I need to ask for something else. Because we look at success as never being satisfied with anything we have. It's almost like you're some kind of a failure if you was to actually say you're satisfied with your house. Or you're satisfied with your car. Or you're satisfied with your wardrobe. It's almost like unless you're constantly striving to attain more, you are some kind of a slacker at the level of the world. So what you have is a bunch of people who never let themselves enjoy any of the blessings that they have, and so they don't allow themselves to have any of the fulfillment that they're busy working so hard for, which is deep. Which is different from enjoying what you've manifested and out of your gratitude watch it increase. See, that's different. See, that's a different level. You see what I'm saying? Thank God. I'm glad they're writing. Really. Because you know you forget 90% of what I say. I know I do. And I read it every day. So, and you're innocent if you do and you're innocent if you don't. But I'm like one of those people too. It's like, even if I never look at the note again, there's something about writing it down that I know impresses me in that second. Sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. There is no wrong behavior in terms of how you respond. But I'm going to say it again. The only difference between us is what we've decided is going to make us happy. But the Course is saying that it's the same thing that's going to make all of us happy, but we don't know it. And what's going to make all of us happy is our connection with our source. The Course is saying it's trying to create a vertical relationship where we're into horizontal relationships, and horizontal relationships take a whole lot of time. A horizontal relationship is the result of a lesson you learn as a result of going day after 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 day, working on it day after day. It's a horizontal lesson, one lifetime after another lifetime. A vertical lesson is you allowing somebody who knows more than you to take you to the next level. For instance, I can climb up the mountain and hike, right? Or I can have a helicopter drop me at the summit. Vertical, it was a lot faster. Well, people say, well, you missed the opportunity to go round and round and round and round the mountain. That's why that option is always available. But don't be bitching. Know what I'm saying? If I'm going to do it the slow way, don't be complaining about it. If I'm going to be doing it the way where I got to do every little detail on my own, by myself, you know, it's like, okay, just admit I want to do it. Some people, they like to do it the hard way. They don't like it easy. But I do. I'll be the first to admit it. I want the easiest life I can possibly have. I want everything to come to me as easy and as quickly and as safely as it possibly can. I don't want to have challenges in order to grow. I don't want to learn forever. And that's why I love this book. It was the first book I ever read that said, this is your final lesson. I said, thank God. It's about time. I don't have a problem with having a final lesson. And then I go, well, what's after the lesson? What's after the final lesson? Guess what? It says creation. And creation is 1,000 times more cool than making. I'm trying to make money. Wouldn't it be cool if you just could create it? But if you can create it, then the Course says what happens is when you get in touch with yourself, then getting in touch with yourself allows everything that you need, even at this level, to be attracted to you in the way that's best for you. So you, in a sense, you wouldn't have to directly ask for money. It would be something like, just because you were conscious of who you are, which is what? I am whole, I am complete, there's nothing missing in me, right? So if I believe I'm whole and I'm complete and there's nothing missing in me, and I recognize that, then I'd have to have what? A life in which I am experiencing wholeness and completion, and nothing is missing. So if I needed something, it would just be there. And I like that. I like that. I like just watching stuff show up before I even ask for it. It's just there. That's cool. And it's happening to me more and more. And it's really, really great. It's a lot better than the making stuff. It really is. I never had so many friends in my life as when I stopped trying to get them. It's like when I started to let go of get, that's when everything started to happen. But as long as I was in that get consciousness, because having to get it is really your clue that what you're trying to get isn't yours. Because what's yours comes to you on its own. And then the only thing you have to do is let go of whatever it is within your own mind that blocks you from letting yourself receive it. So it's not about trying to get it. It's about trying to let go of the blocks to receiving it. That's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to let go of the blocks. I keep hearing all this cool stuff is around me. I want to let go of whatever it is inside of me that doesn't let me have it. That's different from trying to get it. I ain't going to try to get a job. I ain't going to try to get a girlfriend. I ain't going to try to get money. I'm not going to try to get a career. I'm not going to try to get sex. I'm not going to try to get clothes. I'm not going to try to get clouds. I'm not going to try to get a trip. I'm not going to try to get. I'm not going to try to get. I'm through getting. I'm a retired getter. Because everything I've ever got was the thing that I regretted. At some point, I wasn't satisfied. What I went out to get. Anybody you got to get, you don't want. Does that make sense? Am I sounding crazy to y'all? Y'all have to let me know. Now, I don't know what's going on in your minds. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? You know, talk to me. Let me know. You know, I'm you. You know, talk to yourself. You do it all the time. Just do it out loud. Okay.
Can you talk? I would love to hear it again. The idea that you talked about yesterday about rising in the circle and the airplane, because I thought that was so good. And I think that kind of fits.
Yeah, I was talking about in my Tuesday class. I do a Tuesday class now out south at 3501 South Corona. And let me see if I can remember, because most of the time stuff is coming through me and not from me.
Yeah, going around and around and raising that bar.
Yeah, we were talking about, besides that, we were talking about the laws of karma. We were talking about the fact that you do something, then, you know, is it going to come back around? Is it going to get you? Or is it going to happen to you because you did it? And I was saying that the law of karma is just a reflection of an unwillingness to change your mind. Because if you can change your consciousness from the level that you were on when you created the thing that you were afraid is going to come back to you, then you are actually on a level that's above having to meet that thing coming back to you, because you're not on that level anymore. Does that make sense?
No.
You know, what you did, in other words, what you did it, and it's going to come. You put it out there, giving and receiving. It's the same. That's a law of the universe that all humans like to ignore. because then if we realize that we wouldn't do the things we do to each other, the only reason why we do it is because we think we can do it and it's not going to happen to us. That's one of the reasons why this whole idea that I create my own reality is not very popular. Because the Course says one of the advantages of thinking you're separate is that you can be under the illusion that you can do stuff to other people and it's never going to happen to you. Or other people can go through something and you don't have to feel it. He said that's why we like being separate, because that way we don't have to go through what our brothers and sisters go through. We don't have to feel it. Which is really kind of loving if you think about it, because if you're not in a space of love, then why would you want to feel everybody else? I personally don't want to feel your stomach ache. I don't want to feel your indigestion, and I don't want to feel your headache. I'm very glad that we're separate as long as we're not realizing our God power and realizing that we're love. I have no problem with that. But the problem with it is that that's also where my pain comes from, because as long as I do think that nothing that is happening around me is connected to me, then I'm never going to extend the love to everything around me either. I still just be self-centered, right? So my point is, when you create something, and you don't have to agree with this, so it's not about convincing you. If you don't, you just don't, okay? It goes out, and it comes back. And it gathers friends along the way. Okay? But if you're on the same level of unforgiveness and attack, of course it's coming back to you, because you're still on the same level you were on when you did it. But if you're becoming more loving and more forgiving and more conscious, you're raising your vibration. And if you're raising your vibration, something that was created on another vibration obviously is not going to reach you on this new vibration. So as I become more loving, all the stuff I did in the past or any karma that I think I have, all of that stuff is dropped by the law of grace, because I've allowed myself to let the love in me predominate. Okay, so when you do that, and you're on that higher level of love, then the things you used to work for so hard on this other level, it's attracted to you automatically and naturally because you love yourself. That's the same as being in first class on a jet as opposed to being in coach. Now, the thing that's cool about that is that people in coach and people in first class get to the same destination at the same time, but one of them had a hell of a better ride. One of them is back in the back squashed up eating two peanuts, and the ones up front got all kinds of champagne and steaks and whatever they like to eat in front of them. So we got a choice to either go in first class or go in coach. And everybody in this room right now, through studying the truth and wanting to take more responsibility and become more loving, what you're doing is asking for the upgrade. You know, all of us are in here going for the upgrade, right? We're trying to go from coach up to first class. But we're still on the same plane with everybody else, arriving at the same place everybody else is going to arrive at. So if I can keep myself in that loving space, I don't have to worry about what I think I did in my past out of my ego. That's what forgiveness is. That's grace. And so that's basically what so every time we go beyond trying to trust in our own strength, that's the same as saying I want to go first class. So what I'm going to do, instead of spending all my time wishing that my mama didn't talk the way she does, what I'm going to do is spend all my time trying to learn how to tell the difference between when I'm getting the voice for my guidance and God just telling me what to do that'll take me to first class, and when I'm listening to that voice that's going to keep me upset all the time, and the issue ain't about my mama at all no more. I'm not spending another second worrying about will my mama ever tell me that I'm the best daughter she ever had. That's a trick. You know why? Because you're still taking your power away by believing how you feel about yourself is dependent on your mama saying you cool. And so whenever you set it up that how you feel about yourself is based on what somebody else does, the universe, in my perception from studying this book, is telling me you're not going to get any help. That's why we stay frustrated. Well, why don't my mama tell me? Well, the universe isn't helping your mama to tell you that you are beautiful. You know why? Because that would be reinforcing the idea that that the way you feel about yourself is created by somebody outside yourself. But you could say, I would like all the blocks removed that keep me and my mama feeling like we're separate from each other, or keeps me seeing some separation or feeling some separation from my mama. Oh, the universe will help you with that. Oh, you want blocks removed? Great. You got all the help you can get. You want to get everybody around you to treat you the way you think you want them to treat you for you to feel okay? The universe can't help you with that. Because that would be actually weakening you in your own perception instead of making you stronger, because it would be further convincing you that your happiness was in something outside of yourself. So even when people do what I want them to do, it looks like, because I got mad and then they changed, they're not helping me at all. They're just reinforcing the idea that my happiness depends on getting everybody around me to act like I want them to, which just increases my control freak nature. So we make a bunch of control freaks by giving in to people who try to make us do stuff that we don't really want to do just to please them. We're increasing their desire to dominate and control us. And that's why people in relationships, a lot of times, who come to my classes in the past, their partner didn't like it at all, especially if their partner wasn't coming. And their partner was a control freak, because the person would keep coming to the class and start to realize that they didn't deserve to be controlled like that. And then I became a cult leader. You see what I'm saying? Because you're taking away my control over my girl. Because most of the time, and it's just changed recently, but mostly it was almost always women. It's just always women that's seeking the higher path. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of funny. You know, I'm like, well, what's that about? What do you think that's about? Why do you think women tend to come to classes like this more than men? Anybody got any theories?
Women are more open.
Less ego.
Just
from society.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can let other powers control us more easily, maybe.
Say it again.
The feminine nature, I think, is more open to letting go and letting another force control and giving up that control.
So the feminine nature is more in touch with surrender, in a way. You know what I'm saying?
I think women are more apt to look for solutions, as opposed to feeling like we have to solve it ourselves. And I think we think that way, but we're also saying, maybe there's something out there that can help us.
That's great. Thank you. Anybody else?
Because we ask for directions and then the out.
Yeah. That ego thing.
That's why I'm getting one of them things in my pot one day, one of them GPS things. You don't have to ask nobody. You're just going to punch the button, the satellite. Yeah, it's interesting. I've always been much, much more in touch with my feminine side as well as my masculine side. And I noticed that most men who come to classes that have to do with spiritual growth over a long period of time, if you get to know them, most of them are more in touch with their feminine side than the average man is. And then the way everything is balancing out right now is that it's more okay for the feminine energy in our society to get more in touch with the masculine side of their energy than ever before. So that's why, in my perception, it kind of seems like the feminine energy is way ahead of the game. Because the feminine energy has already learned how to feel real comfortable about the feminine energy, right? And now they can even feel real comfortable about the masculine energy, too. Even to the point that it's okay in our society for a woman to dress like a man. And they don't really trip. You know, a woman can wear a suit, she can wear pants, she can wear a shirt, whatever men used to wear. And nobody thinks about it. But if I was sitting up here in a miniskirt, y'all be tripping. You know what I'm saying? And talk about how pretty my legs are. Bitch, that's what I'm talking about. Not so good shit like this, you know what I'm saying? But, unless I really want to make the teacher happy, but that's a whole other story. But that's really how ridiculous it is. Therefore, I feel like the masculine energy feels much more self-conscious about getting in touch with its feminine energy. And so I feel like, in a sense, women are getting the balance faster than men are getting the balance. And it's very powerful, but then it makes sense too from the level of the illusion that the matriarchal energy would start to become stronger for a balance. But to me, what's a trip is to watch not going from one extreme to another, which is all the way from it look like it's the male energy that's ruling everything to now it's all about the goddess to the fact that it's almost like male bashing. Now everything about the male is horrible. You know, to me, it's about bringing the balance. And that's what was scaring me about the goddess thing, because I was meeting so many goddesses that really felt, frankly, like they hated men. Or that they had a lot of issues with men. Not so much like I'm just getting in touch with my feminine energy, but it's almost like a reaction to a negative feeling about the male energy. Just like there are men who feel like they got to be in control, and then a woman will never tell me what to do kind of energy. So both of those extremes are both illusions, and when you recognize the truth, you realize you're not either one. You're not a man or a woman, that you're a being that's greater than both of those, that's actually expressing through a male or female body in order to learn lessons in love here. And so when you break the identification with your sexual identity, then you also let go of all the hang-ups and all the guilt and all the fears around that identity, which is really deep, you know. And at that point, you feel so innocent about your identity that you can finally start enjoying your male and female identity. And all of a sudden, it becomes like a grand and glorious thing to be in a male body or a grand and glorious thing to be in a female body. But as long as I identify with it, then I'm still be creating the polarities and the separation. Does that make sense? If I am a man and you are a woman, then that Mars Venus crap is what is about. And I call it crap simply because anything that makes you think you're different from me in core essential ways, we're not going to join. We're not going to have peace with each other. But if I go, you and I are the same being, but you happen to be expressing through a feminine female body, and I'm expressing through a male body, and there are things we want to learn, and we really want to learn the same thing. You want to learn how to have love, I want to learn how to have love. Then guess what? We're going to get beyond the male-female stuff. But if I'm a man and you a woman, and then we battling that back and forth, I'll never get another one of those kind of relationships again. Where we're into that, we're more focused on the differences between us, because we've already been educated about the differences between us. That's already there. We already know about those. Now it's time to focus on who we are beyond it. So whether you have a male body or a female body, you want to be in first class, right? Everybody here want to upgrade?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just curious about that because, again, I've noticed it for years. I've been teaching a long time, and I've noticed it. But I have also noticed that the masculine part of it is increasing, which is also a reflection of the balance that's happening within myself. Because ultimately it's my own consciousness that's even attracting who come to the class. You know.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. So when you were talking about the stomach ache, so because we are one,
mm-hmm.
if you're in pain, mm-hmm. am I going to feel your pain?
Obviously, you don't. When we now check this out. When we're really in touch with who we really are, the course is saying we're totally invulnerable and we totally are beyond pain. Who we really are doesn't hurt. Who we really are does not even need any of the things that our human identity needs. So if I'm joined with you in love and I'm joining you with you in God and what's real, then we don't have a stomach ache. So we don't even have a stomach. But the thing that's such a trip about it is that we're in a state of bliss and a state of oneness and a state of peace that's beyond anything we can even imagine. But because we're in human bodies, it's hard for us to imagine anything greater than the physical pleasure. So when anything talks about us getting in touch with any level of our identity beyond the body, then our human identity perceives it as a sacrifice and acts like we're being asked to deny the pleasures of the flesh. When most people don't even let themselves have the pleasure of the flesh, no way. So they could just go ahead and go on to the next level. You know what I'm saying? It's funny how much we'll wait around and do stuff that we feel too guilty to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody's trying to hang on to the body for dear life, but how many people do you really see enjoying their body? They usually complain about it or feel guilty about it or don't like how it looks or afraid to play with it or anything. So it's so funny. But suppose that there was a level of bliss and pleasure that you could have that was beyond anything you've ever felt in your body and you didn't need nobody else to feel it. Sounds to me like I'm talking about constant round-the-clock, 24-hour pleasure. Because every time I set up a pleasure that I have to get somebody's cooperation in order for me to have, then that's a delay of my happiness. Don't you think so? I mean, as soon as I go, well, I'm not going to feel good till I get a good kiss. Well, I might not feel good. It's been a while, you know? God, it's so funny. You know, it's so funny. I just kissed myself. I haven't figured out how to French kiss me yet, but I am. When I do, it's going to be all over, buddy. I guess I could roll my tongue around my own mouth, couldn't I? I don't know. But anyway, that's another class. That's all. I know that's right. That's my next work. That's my next workshop. That's my next workshop. I know that's right. But what's so funny about it is that the minute that you are able to self-pleasure, however you perceive that, that's when everybody that starts showing up who wants to pleasure you. It's the weirdest thing. You know why? Because if you don't feel any lack, there is no lack. And so your outer reflects that by giving you whatever it is that it seems like you need. It's so obvious that I miss that. You know what I mean? It's like if I'm okay anyway, then I'm going to be okay anyway. See, that which is different from I don't feel okay, so I'm going to go out here and get what makes me feel okay. You know, so it's different. So if there are any of you out there that really want to do relationships differently or really want to do your experience differently, you're going to really enjoy this class this year. Really. Those who really want to do it differently are going to think they landed in heaven. Those who want to try the old way one more time, they're just going to argue and debate and get mad and just feel a lot of resistance. And that's innocent, too, because I don't feel it. You know, so go knock yourself out. But, you know, because I'm separate from you. No, you can not like anything. I'm okay. That's fine. That's fine. But I don't know about you, but I reached my limit in some areas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm so blessed. Wow. Okay. It's 12:51. So I'm going to do the love offering, and then I'm going to do a quick review of some of the main points that I've covered today. Because it was quite a bit that came through us. As a matter of fact, there's a paragraph that I'm going to read to you that blew me. I'm going to get into this next week. But it's just this paragraph, the first time I read it, it was one of the... There are certain things when you read The Course in Miracles that sets it totally apart from other books that you've read. This book can say more in one paragraph than most books say in two or three chapters. It's that thick. And there's a paragraph here that was so powerful when I first heard it that I would kind of like to see what your reaction is to it, whatever that reaction is. And I also want to thank you for sharing with me and Unity Temple. Really do. So what I'd like to do now is ask for us to be able to recognize the abundance that we've already received. I ask that we will be able to recognize the abundance that we've already received. I ask that we will be able to recognize the abundance we've already received. So be it. Let me pass that around. Kobe. Okay.
Reading Reverend John Mundy. A lot of you have heard of him. He's pretty...
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'll do this next week, because I don't want to do it in 2 seconds. So what we want to do, okay, here we go. All right, if we want to really get in touch with what's making us angry, upset, and weary, and depressed, according to what we heard today, is the depression and the weary and the upset coming from the person or the situation that we think we're going through, or the fact that we're trusting in the part of us that really doesn't know how to handle the situation and change it yet? Hey, which one is it? Okay. All right. So, and then we also hear that instead of trying to focus on getting everything outside of me to change, what I need to really focus on is how to tell the difference between the voice that's coming to me from God and the voice that's coming to me from my ego. Right? Okay. And that the Course in Miracles is one of the ways of being able to learn that discernment. Right? Okay. If you have done something that you're afraid is going to come back to you because of karma, what would be the way for you to assure yourself that you don't have to deal with that?
Learn the lesson.
There you go. Learn the lesson, raise the consciousness. Because as soon as you learn the lesson, there's no need for it to happen again. One of my favorite lines in the Course is that it says, if you're really healed, it doesn't have to happen but once. That made perfect sense to me. If I'm really healed, why do I need to be healed over and over and over and over again of the same thing? If I'm really healed in relationships, why do I need every relationship I need to be healed in, or whatever it is?
That's what came up on the meditation thing, remember? When somebody's saying about meditation, they meditate and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That way, well, yeah, the very final meditation is that
you... Yeah, the last one. So all we're doing right now is practicing.
Yeah.
That's what we're really doing right now. It's like somebody rehearsing, you know? The other thing that we realized was that all of us on the same plane gonna arrive at the same place at the same time. Some going first class, some going coach. The ones going first class are the ones who are realizing that they're innocent and they deserve to be in first class. The ones that's flying coach are the ones for whatever reason don't believe that they deserve to fly first class. But they all gonna arrive. So that's the cool part, is that we all going to arrive. I would just like to enjoy the ride more. Right. Oh, the other thing we were saying, you want to let go of the drive to get. So realize that what's for you, if you let go of the blocks within you to allowing you to recognize and to receive it, the right relationships, the right whatever it is you think you need, even at the level of the body, will begin to be attracted to you. You don't have to try to go out and make it happen. That doesn't mean that you will not be following instructions that you got from within, which looks like to everybody else watching you, like you're doing something. You know what I'm saying? But you're really not doing what you used to do. You're really just carrying out instructions as opposed to making them up and doing the trial and error thing. So it's a lot easier to carry out an instruction that you know is going to work than to always be worried about one that you're praying works. That's two different things. Here's another little extra one. Instead of making your choices based on right and wrong, start trying to make your choices based on what gives you the most peace. And that'll move you fast, too. Because sometimes people say, well, I don't know what the right or wrong thing in the situation. Well, you will ask yourself, what is really, and of course, don't really kid yourself. What is it that's really going to give me the most peace? What feels most peaceful? Because even if there are two choices, the Course says at the level of the world, no two choices are going to have the equal attraction. Even though you may think one is just as attractive as the other, it also says that if you can't choose between them, the truth is both of them are illusions. It doesn't matter which one you choose, because you think your happiness is based on either one of those, and it's not. That's deep, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That's deep. It's like me looking at two ice cream cones and going, now, which one of these ice cream cones are going to be the gasoline for my car? Okay. I think I choose that one. And of course, they say, no, if you're trying to choose between two illusions, neither one of them are going to satisfy you because the truth is what is real is available to you at all times right now anyway. And everything that we're trying to do on the outside is just things that we've decided that are going to make us happy. Which is deep. So really doesn't make any difference. That's deep, man. You know, because your happiness is not really going to come from anything you choose anyway. It's going to come from the way you interpret what you've chosen and the way that you're interpreting what you've experienced. That's what my happiness with you is going to come from what you mean to me. And what you mean to me is going to be given by me. It's not going to come from you. It's going to come from me. That's why I would choose one person over another person. It's the meaning that I've given that person over that person. So the truth is, my happiness with you is coming from the meaning I give you. Anyway, so it doesn't have anything to do with you. That what you noticed? That's what you noticed? That's the way people act all the time? Like, well, if it has something to do with me, when you take the time to get to know me? If it had something to do with me, would you let me be? See, it's not about me. It's not about you, it's about my fantasy. That's all it's about. It's really all about my fantasy. I want somebody I can have my fantasy with. So my ego said, well, if you give up your fantasies, you're not going to have a good time. Right? That's not the way my life has worked. It's been just the opposite. It's been like, when you give up the fantasy, which is the same to me as trying to make somebody be something that they're not in order to please you, or make someone want to do something they want to do in order to please you, what happens is you start to attract the people to you who naturally do the stuff you like to do on their own, and they would do it even if they didn't even know you. So you don't even have any guilt, because they're just that way anyway, you know. I like to have a lover that swings from the ceiling on the trapeze. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now, and here you are with somebody, the last thing they want to do is get on the trapeze. And then you make them feel really bad because they don't want to do the trapeze thing. You know, you really love me. You put that trapeze up there in that ceiling and you be in that trapeze tonight. You know. Now the truth is, if you let go of that script and it's okay if the trapeze happens and okay if the trapeze doesn't happen, then what happens is you probably draw a person to you that liked to do it, and it had nothing to do with you. And how in the world could you feel guilty about experiencing something that you would love to experience with somebody that naturally likes to do that anyway? Nobody's forcing anybody. Everybody's cool. Everybody's happy. And so the ego tries to tell you you can't have the things that you want even at this level if you give up your script. But it's just the opposite. You give up your script, then those who would naturally do those things would just show up. Try it. Don't doubt it till you try it. Try it. Because you all deserve to be in first class because you are first class. All right. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow at 7 or Sunday at 1. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for coming out here today and helping me learn what I need to learn. I appreciate you. Absolutely. Appreciate you all.